Let me bring listeners fully into the Ukraine picture, because several threads converged over the weekend in ways that may actually shift the trajectory of the conflict. President Zelensky dismissed Prime Minister Yulia Svyrydenko on Sunday after approximately 1 year in office, announcing a broad cabinet reshuffle. Wartime government reshuffles are almost always partly about efficiency and partly about political consolidation. That Zelensky has done this before at moments when he needed to demonstrate control over the national narrative.
The timing relative to Trump's stance shift is interesting. U.S. intelligence briefings apparently presented Trump with specific data on Ukraine's long-range strike capabilities, and that reportedly changed his posture at the NATO summit, where he backed deeper strikes into Russian territory. Ukraine's Azov unit destroying a hidden Russian fuel depot this weekend is exactly the kind of demonstrated operational competence that such briefings would highlight. Ukraine has been building a case, through actions, not just advocacy, that it has more military effectiveness than the war is unwinnable narrative in some Western quarters had suggested.
The Graham death intersects here too, and I want to be specific about the legislative stakes. The Russia sanctions bill that Graham championed would impose significant additional financial penalties on Russia and on third-party countries that facilitate Russian sanctions evasion. With Graham gone, his allies are invoking his legacy to pressure wavering colleagues. The bill's passage would signal continued Western economic pressure on Moscow, even as diplomacy on Ukraine's ultimate status remains unresolved. Russia's calculus has depended partly on its belief that Western political will would erode over time. Any signal that it won't is strategically important.
Trump's comment that Graham was into keeping the Ukraine war going is telling because it reveals how Trump frames the conflict as something that can be turned on or off by key advocates, rather than as a geopolitical reality with its own momentum. That framing has real policy consequences. If Trump believes the war is sustained by a few hawkish voices, rather than by Ukrainian resistance, territorial control, and Russian aggression, his peace negotiation approach will reflect that misunderstanding. The intelligence briefing that reportedly shifted his thinking may have corrected some of that, but we should watch what he actually does, not just what he says after a briefing.
One more Ukraine-adjacent point. The Besant for Senate speculation matters for Ukraine policy specifically. Besant has been relatively quiet on Ukraine, but has managed the financial sanctions architecture against Russia. If he leaves Treasury, whoever replaces him will need to be brought up to speed on an enormously complex set of financial instruments and relationships at exactly the wrong moment. The foreign policy establishment is worried about that continuity gap.